Hey, everybody, and thanks so much for listening to the 15th episode of As Ink. What As Ink normally is we do an improvised radio play for you, normally referred to as the Bat. But this week, we're going to be doing something just a little different. We're going to be presenting an actual scripted radio play. This one is from the show The Outer Limit, and it originally aired on April the 8th, 1950, and the episode is entitled Dimension X. Playing with As Ink this week, and their characters are...
Nathan Turner, I'll be playing, let me see if I get this straight, Hank, Charlie, Elsie, Donaldson, and female operator.
Right, and I'm Chris George, and I'll be playing announcer, Steve, tech, Sarge, operator, also sometimes referred to as operator number one in the script, and Ames.
And I would like to dedicate this episode to Aunt Agatha.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, I feel like everybody has one, you know.
I don't.
You don't? Well, you're the only one.
I probably am in a minority. That's probably true.
As far as Aunt Agathas go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think we're ready to begin. So, lights down. Stories in time and space, told in future tense. Dimension X, 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 X. Can you predict what will come in 100 years? Or in 10? Or in the next minute? Some people think they can. Nuclear scientists, mathematicians, astronomers, biologists. They'll predict the shape of the future. Why? Because they make the future. Because they see beyond the known dimensions of time and space into the unknown. Dimension X. 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 We go ahead in time now to 1965. We're on a vast concrete runway set in the desert of the Southwest. A giant metal ship stands before us, prow pointed for the stars, and in 5 minutes, the signal will flash, and it will tear up through the atmosphere to the outer limit! Attention! Attention! Clear field for takeoff! Attention! Attention! Clear field for takeoff!
Yeah, 5 minutes, Steve.
Right.
Warm her up, Charlie! Turn her over. I want to go over procedure again, Steve.
Don't worry. I've got it straight.
Just making sure.
Okay. I take her up on jets to 50,000, and then I cut in the rockets.
No lower, or your tail blast will blow out 3 countries.
I climb 4 minutes on rockets, then start maneuver tests.
Remember that. No more than 4 minutes.
Right.
This ship isn't like those strato rockets you've been testing. She's the first one built for outer space. If she works, we can go clear to the moon.
If I'd have known that, I'd have brought my toothbrush.
Well, not this trip. Now get this, Steve. You've got power there to clear the Earth's gravitational field, but remember, after you cut in the rockets, you've got only 10 minutes of fuel. If you go beyond the outer limit, and don't save fuel for the return.
I know. I won't get down again.
That's right, Steve. You'll drift off into space. Get that now? 10 minutes fuel.
Gotcha.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, this project is a lot more important than the cosmic ray bomb they're testing out in the Pacific tonight.
Well, Security Commission brass doesn't think so. I don't see any undersecretaries or anything.
Don't worry. In the long run, our ship will make the CR bomb back page stuff. But in the meantime, it's just as dangerous. Remember, half the principles on this ship are pure theory, Steve. Slide rule stuff. If anything goes wrong, we may have to scrape you off the landscape with a soup spoon.
You have a charming sense of humor.
Now, here's what I'm getting at. We're risking your neck on this test. If anything blows, we don't want the next man to pull the same boner.
I know, Hank.
So keep your mic open and keep talking. If anything goes wrong, we want to know exactly why, and we won't be able to ask you. Let us know before you pull every switch, before you do anything. You got that?
Yeah.
Even if you only have to blow your nose. All right, get those fuel lines away.
Okay, Mr. Pearl.
Well, I guess that's about all, Steve.
That reminds me. Look, if Mary calls, I'm just up on a milk run. I didn't tell her today was it.
Oh, how is she?
She's okay, but she's due about now, and I don't want her to be nervous.
Hey, I didn't know the baby was so close.
Yeah.
Steve, I really ought to be sending a single man on this job.
What, and cut me out of a soft paycheck? Forget it, Hank. You know you can't get anybody else who can take 15 G's acceleration when those rockets cut
in. Yeah, I know. It's time, Steve.
Yeah. Well, see you later. Don't worry, Hank. I'll sweat for both of us. Button her up, Charlie!
Yeah.
So long, Hank.
So long. We'll give you the light from control.
X2R to control. X2R to control. Are you there yet, Hank?
Okay, Steve. Got you on the speaker. I'm ready to go.
Mr. Hansen?
Ready on radar, Sergeant? Check!
Mr. Hansen, you'd better see this.
What is it, Elsie?
Message sent in for Steve. Mrs. Weston just left for the hospital.
What? Hello, Steve?
What?
Stand by a minute.
Shall we hold takeoff, Mr. Hansen?
What? Oh, yes, no, wait just a minute, it's too late now.
Aren't you going to tell him?
Maybe he's got enough to worry about.
Hey, what's the holdup, Hank? Something on your mind?
No, it's, nothing. Steve, I just wanted to say, the good luck. clear for takeoff, Charlie. Right. Okay, give him the light. All right, Steve, I'm reading you clear.
I'm at 40,000. Airspeed 600. She's running fine. The soundproofing works. There's a third degree waiver in the AGY pressure.
Got that, Charlie? Boom. Check. Boom.
Dead center on the radar, Mr. Hansen.
50,000 now. Cutting off the port jet. Now the starboard. I'm off jets. Airspeed dropping. Opening the rocket selects. The switch sticks a little, Charlie. Actually, out the hold pressure is 350. All right, I'm advancing the ignition key. Here goes rocket one.
Steve, are you all right?
Yeah, feels like somebody slugged me with a sledgehammer. Airspeed now at 1,200. Here goes number two.
Hello, Steve. Elapsed rocket time is now 4 minutes. What is your altitude? Over to you.
Speed, 4,400. Still climbing. Altitude, 297 miles.
All right, you're at the outer limit. Level off for maneuver test. You've got exactly 6 minutes fuel left.
Okay, starting a 3-degree left bank. It's a little sluggish. There. It's all right now. There's a low vibration someplace. Maybe the cockpit hatch. Now I'm straightening out.
5 minutes fuel left.
Now I'm starting a 3-degree right. Hey!
What's the matter? What's wrong?
There's something up here. Something shiny.
What are you talking about?
There's something above me, Hank. I'm gonna chase it.
Steve? Steve, you're at the outer limit now.
I can see it plain now.
Steve, don't go any higher. You've only got 4 minutes left.
boom, boom, boom. You've only got...
There's too much static. I can't hear you, Hank. It's dead ahead now. I'm gonna make a pass at it and get a good look. Hey, it's swerving to meet me. It's dead ahead now. It's dead ahead.
Hello? Hello, Steve? Steve, come in.
9 minutes fuel left gone.
Still no sign on radar. Hello? Hello, Steve? Steve, what's happened? Charlie, get out the crash squad. Tell the Army squadron to alert their search planes. Right.
9.5 minutes.
Crash squadron, hello? Charlie Klepper for Mr. Hansen. We need a search squadron. No, Mr. Hansen's busy. Hello? Hello, Steve? What's happened? Where the devil is he? Hello? Come in, Steve. Come in. Hello? Hello, Steve? Hello? Steve?
Ten minutes, Mr. Hansen. That's the end of his fuel.
How long has it been now? 10 hours, Mr. Hansen. Nothing more on radar, Sergeant?
Screens blank.
Colonel Coralie, calling in. Search planes are back. They didn't find anything.
There should be some trace.
He couldn't have bailed out, could he?
You don't hit the silk at 4,400 miles an hour. Either went past the outer limit and ran out of fuel, or something blew, and we'll find the pieces scattered from here to the coast. Damn! Why does it have to be the best man? Always the best man!
I'll get it. Control? Yes, I'll take it. Oh, is that so? All right, I'll tell him, all right.
Charlie, you know, we've got to figure out what was wrong. Yes. Something must have blown.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
There's a message from Northside Hospital for Steve. Mr. Weston's fine. Mrs. Weston, I'm sorry, is fine. It's a boy.
Thank you, Elsie. It's a boy, Charlie. Oh. Fine, it's a boy. He didn't even know she went to the hospital. How am I going to tell Mary that? It wasn't your fault, Mr. Hansen. The ship had to be tested. Yeah, and we'll build another one, and some flying fool will shoot past the outer limit into space. Oh, I'm getting old, Charlie. You can remember when I used to take them up myself. Now I've got to send other men. It's a job, Mr. Hansen. Now I'm afraid every time I hear jet go off, I jump. Every time I have to send someone up in a new model, I start to sweat.
Mr. Hansen!
Yeah?
I think there's something on the radar.
No flight scheduled in, are there, Elsie?
We have the whole day clear.
It's coming in behind us! Here it comes over the building!
What a crazy jockey is buzzing the field like that! Is that an Army plane, Charlie? I can't say.
It's turning!
Charlie, alert the field! I know the engine. Steve! That's impossible. That's his ship! It can't be! Well, there's no other model like that. It's Steve, all right. He's coming in. Oh, thank God, thank God! All right, sit down, Steve. The quicker we get this done, the quicker you'll get over to see Mary and the baby.
Hank.
Elsie, give the order to check and refuel the rockets. I don't want anybody in here until I get Steve's reports. Bury any calls. All right. Let's have it. What the devil happened to you?
Hank, does that cosmic ray bomb still go off tonight?
What are you talking about? Straighten out, Steve. Where have you been for the last 10 hours?
Listen, Hank. There's something more I've got to tell you about.
Come on now. I've got to get a report on the screen to Washington, so let's have it. I've got to know how you stretch 10 minutes' fuel to keep you in the air for 10 hours.
Now, one thing before I talk.
Look, Steve.
Have the Geiger men run over the ship before they refuel.
What did you run into?
So help me, Hank, I don't know. We better check and make sure it isn't radioactive.
Elsie, add a Geiger report to the standard check. Steve, maybe we better have the doc look you over, too.
No, I'll be all right. They said I'd be all right.
They? Look, son, I know you've had a tough time, but we've had this field on alert for 10 hours. One of the army boys cracked up looking for you. He's hurt bad. So let's have the story. Let's have it straight.
I don't know how to tell you, Hank. I saw something up there.
At 300 miles?
I chased something up there, Hank. And I caught it.
Now don't hand me that.
Listen to me. I was cruising along, just staring the right bank when I spotted something. Must have been going half my speed. It was egg-shaped and smooth. I made a pass at it, and I was coming back for another, and then there was a humming sound.
Humming?
A sort of vibration, and I blacked out. I was headed straight forward at 4,400 miles an hour. I thought I was going to be the biggest man since Hiroshima, and Hank, is there a drink in that bottle?
Never mind that, Steve. What happened?
I came to inside their ship.
Uh-huh. Steve, this whole thing's been a devil of a strain on you. I'm gonna call Major Donaldson from the Army base to ask him to sit in.
Psychiatrist? Yeah. That's a good idea. Let him run his tests. They'll tell you I'm not kidding. Because, Hank, unless I miss my guess, I've just been tipped off to the way the world ends.
All right, Mr. Winston. Suppose you continue your story.
Yes, let's have it, Steve. You woke up inside this ship?
Yes, and the place was jammed with machinery, dials, blinkers. Couldn't recognize anything.
And you were surrounded by these, what, men from Mars?
I didn't say anything about men from Mars. I didn't even say they were men. I couldn't see them clearly. They were just there.
Where did they come from, then?
Another galaxy. Millions of miles outside of our solar system. That's all I know. You figure out where they came from.
And they came all that distance to find Earth?
Yes.
They tell you that, did they?
Yes.
You mean they spoke English to you?
No, they didn't. That's funny, I hadn't thought. They didn't really speak to me at all, they just planted the thoughts in my mind.
You mean thought transference? Telepathy,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Steve, what brought them here?
We did, Hank. We rang their bell. We brought them in.
Well, how?
With our atomic explosions. Hank, that's why you've got to stop that bomb test tonight.
Oh, I give up.
Look, you got to believe me, Hank. Oh, how can I make you understand?
Would you submit to narcopsychometry?
What's that?
Under proper drugs, I can put you back in this, ship by suggestion. Then we can get a playback record of your memory pattern on the audio circuit.
How long will that take?
Half an hour. We'll have to go up to the lab, though.
Would you believe me if it checks?
It will give us an accurate memory picture of what your mind reports.
All right, let's go. Hank, you gotta believe me. We haven't got much time.
All right, you should be getting drowsy now. Count backwards from 10 for me, if you will, Steve.
10, 9, 8, 7... 6, 6,
All right. He's under. Now we attach the head plate electrodes. The cortical pickup. Look out for that wire, Mr. Hansen. Setting 31.3. Now throw that switch, Mr. Hansen. I have to start him off by suggestion. All right, Steve, you're in your ship now. You're in the rocket. You're in the rocket, and you just sighted something strange.
Now I'm starting a 3-degree right.
What's bank. That?
Hey, there's something up there. Something shiny.
His memory pattern, we're picking it up electronically.
Something above me, Hank. I'm gonna chase it.
It's piped through the audio circuit.
I'm getting static. I can't hear you, Hank.
This is where we lost contact with him.
I'm gonna make a pass at it, and... Hey, it's swerving to meet me. It's dead ahead now. It's dead ahead.
Now what? This is where he blacked out. There's no telling how long, minutes or hours. What's that noise? I don't know. Quiet.
Where? How did I get in here? Who are you?
Is he seeing them?
Intergalactic patrol. What's that?
What are they saying, Steve? What are they saying?
It's about nuclear fission. They know about it. They know the danger of it. Long ago, they had wars that almost destroyed them. And finally, they learned. Now they've outlawed war.
Go on, Steve.
They patrol space. When their detector picks up an atomic explosion, they send a patrol.
What are they gonna do?
They've quarantined us.
Quarantined?
They've isolated the Earth, because we don't know how to control ourselves yet. Until we learn, we'll be a menace to the whole universe.
What is this nonsense? Quiet. How are they going to do it, Steve?
They've spread a layer out here of... I don't know how to call it. All around the Earth. It's miles deep. When there's an atomic explosion on Earth, the radioactive particles will drift up to this layer and set off a chain reaction. It'll go around the world in microseconds. And that's the end.
The end? What's he trying to tell you now? Wait.
Yes, I understand. I've got to bring back the warning. You're going to put me back in my ship to bring the warning.
Oh, now what? He's blacked out again. I guess that's all. What does that mean? It's what he remembers. You don't think that really happened? No, the narco-psychometry circuits produce what he remembers. It just means that Steve believes this happened. I don't like to see this. I've seen too many good test pilots snap. Steve is the best I've known. How bad do you think he is?
Frankly, outside of the presence of this well-organized hallucination, there's no sign of imbalance. It may not be too serious. If he had a more plausible story, I'd be inclined to believe him.
What? Why? Hank?
It's all right, boy.
Did you hear it, Hank? You understand?
Sure. We've been quarantined.
Let me give you something to make you sleep, Steve.
But don't you understand? They fixed it so that if we set off one more nuclear explosion, that'll be it.
Of course. Don't roll your sleeve down.
You don't believe me.
Now take it easy, Steve.
That test tonight. They're setting off the CR bomb. Hank, what time is it?
It's 11:20.
Well, it's scheduled for midnight. Hank, we've got to stop that bomb.
Steve, let Donaldson give you the hypo.
Hank... You gotta believe me, I saw them. I got the warning. If we touch off that bomb tonight, it'll be the biggest Galactus 4th of July of all time. The whole Earth will go up like a Roman candle. April 10th, 1965. The end.
Now look, Steve, you'd better calm down. Don't want to see Mary and the baby? Don't you want to see them? You've got a new son, remember?
Well, that's just it. I want to see my son. I want him to live. If that bomb goes off, Hank, we've got to stop them.
Mr. Hansen, I think we'd better get over to the base hospital.
Hank, you gotta believe me.
Yeah, sure, Steve. Maybe there's something to it. Look, it's out of your hands. I'll put it in a report and shuttle it off to Washington in the morning.
In the morning? There isn't going to be any morning, Hank. Don't you understand? You've got to call Washington now. Get the head of the Security Commission and postpone that.
Now, you know I can't do that, Steve. My neck'd be out a mile. Besides, this is the 1965, not 1945. 20 countries have atomic bombs now. What's the use of stopping this one? The rest will keep right on popping them off.
Well, we have to call an international conference. Can't you understand, Hank? The first one that goes off finishes us. It's the end. They've given us the quarantine warning.
Steve, I think you'd better go with us to the base hospital.
But you've
got
to...
Steve, we can call up for a detail if we have to.
All right. I'll go with you. I don't need a straitjacket.
That's the way, Steve. You'll probably feel better by morning. Let's go. Well, Steve, tomorrow I'll drive you over to the hospital to see Mary and a kid.
Sure.
Look at that ship under the floodlights. Pretty, huh? You'll be flying her again soon. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. What's she doing out on the line? They refuel her?
Yeah, we've got Clausewitz coming in tomorrow from Denver for another test. Figure we'd give you the day off.
That's good. That's fine!
What? Steve! Steve, come back! Come on! Donaldson! Steve! Steve, wait! He's headed for the rocket! Look, there he goes up!
That crazy fool! Oh, we can't get at him now. That covers armored glass. He's waving.
Yeah, towards control. It's the radio. He means the radio. Come on!
I should have gotten help.
A good thing the radio's still hooked up here. Hello? Hello, Steve?
Listen to me, Hank. You gotta call Washington now.
Come on out of that rocket, Steve. I'll call my medics.
Don't try anything, Hank. They've refueled the rocket for tomorrow.
Take it easy, Steve.
You know what'll happen when I fire the rocket tubes down here?
Steve, don't!
It'll burn every building for 5 miles. All of us in one big flash.
Steve, what do you want?
You've got to stop that bomb. You got to call Washington right now.
They won't believe me.
You make that call or I cut in the rocket. Now, I mean it, Hank. Now, hook my screen to yours in parallel. I want to see exactly what you're doing.
All right. Now, just don't fire those rockets.
Get going, Hank. You've got 12 minutes to make that call and stop the bomb.
All right. I'm making a parallel hookup right now. Donaldson, do you think he'll really blast?
I don't know. Up to now, I'd almost say he was normal, but now he's liable to do anything, Hansen.
Steve, there. Are you getting it in on your screen?
Yeah. Now put that call through.
All right.
Operator.
Visit screen to Washington.
The visit screen circuits are busy, sir. If you'd like to try again in half an hour...
This is Security Commission priority. Break in and get me a line.
Yes, sir. Just a moment, please. 10 minutes, Hank.
Listen, Steve, I'm trying.
They're ready to take your call, sir.
Washington, Security Commission 3, this is urgent. I want Undersecretary Herbert Ames.
Washington 3, one moment, please.
Hurry, will you?
One moment, please.
Oh, God. Always one moment, please. What time is it, Donaldson?
It's 11:51. Do you think he'll fire those rockets? He might.
Check. Washington.
Visit screen 3, Mr. Herbert Ames, please.
That's a coded exchange. I cannot accept your call without clearance.
Put it through, Hank!
Listen, Washington, put it through! This is Mr. Hansen at San Marco Air Base. This is a priority call. I'm coded!
One moment, please. I'll check your code number.
Get that through, Hank. That bomb goes off at 12.
Be reasonable, Steve.
Your call has cleared San Marco. Washington, visit screen 3. Herbert Ames, please.
Security Commission. Ames.
Listen, Ames.
Oh, hello, Hansen.
Ames, you've got to get me to the chief.
Are you kidding? He's at the test control room.
Yes, I know, but get him for me. What's up? You look lousy. Or is it a bad circuit? There's no time. I've got to get him before the test. It's about the CR bomb.
I can't take that responsibility. Get that through, Hank, or I blast. What's going on down there?
Ames, my project has a high enough rating. This is a priority A call.
What? Okay, it's your neck. I'll try and get him for you. He's in the control room, so you have to switch off your screen and speaker and go to earphones. Too much going on in there. Security ruling.
You hear that, Steve? I've got to cut the incoming screen.
All right, but don't try anything. 8 minutes, Hank.
Hello? Hello? What?
You got it, Hank?
Yes, this is Hansen at San Marco. No, sir, priority A request to cancel the bomb test. No, I'm serious. This is deadly serious. Now, yet we sent the X2 JTR up today to the outer limit. We uncovered evidence. Yes, on the automatic instruments. What's that? No, possible chain reaction. No, I can't tell you the whole story. There isn't time here. Yes, I'll bring the readings into Washington in the morning. You've got to postpone the test till you see them. Look, I worked on contracts with the commission for 10 years. Yes, I have complete confidence in my information. You can record that at a... Uh-huh. Yes, I'll call you back immediately. Yeah, goodbye.
Click. Hank?
He's agreed to cancel, Steve. The bomb won't go off. All right, boy. You can come down out of that ship.
He's opening up. Here he comes.
All right, Steve, come down.
Sure, Hank. Just a second. Hank, I was scared. I was plain scared.
Easy now, it's all over. The bomb won't go off.
Thank God. Look, I want to see Mary and the baby. Can you get me transportation now?
Wait a minute. It's almost 12. They won't let you in the hospital now.
I want to see the baby.
Sure you do. But you've been under a strain. I've got a shot for you here, Steve. It'll give you a good night's sleep. All right, roll up your sleeve.
Yeah, here.
There, that'll make you sleep. The sergeant will find you a bed.
Yes, sir. Come along, Mr. Weston.
Okay. Good night, Hank. I'm kind of beat. It's been a tough night.
It sure has. I thought for a minute that he was going to blast those rockets and send us all to Kingdom Come. Yeah. Quite a stunt getting the ray bomb test called off. It isn't called off. But the chief said Ames couldn't get the chief. I was talking to a dead circuit. Bomb goes off in a couple minutes. Oh, poor Steve. He was one of the best. He was the best. 1 in 10 million, some story of his. Poor guy. For a while, he almost had me believing in that quarantine. It's a very common delusion, end of the world. Yeah, I suppose so. Tonight's night. Never saw the stars so bright. Huh. Sort of rhymed. Well, we'd better be getting in. The wind is cold. That bomb goes off in 30 seconds. Poor Steve. You know, Hansen, there's just one thing. Yeah? It's outside my field, but I'm curious. How did he keep that ship in the air for 10 hours with only 10 minutes fuel?
You have just heard The Outer Limit by Graham Doerr. An adventure in time, space, and the unknown. Dimension X. Now, about next week. Have you heard of the Mark III? The amazing electronic brain at Harvard that instantly solves the most complicated scientific problems. Suppose you had a mechanical brain like that in your house. A robot that was always at your service, so that you could just sit with folded hands and relax the rest of your life. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Perfect. That's what they thought when it happened in the year 2006. But they were wrong. Terribly wrong. How? I'll tell you next week. Tonight's story, transcribed on Dimension X, The Outer Limit, by Graham Doerr, was adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Joseph Julian as Steve, Wendell Holmes as Hank, and Joe DeSantos as Major Donaldson. Your host is Norman Roses. Music was by Albert Berman. Sound designed by Simon Rowe. Edward King directed. Tomorrow, hear Sam Spade. Now, it's Truth or Consequences on NBC. Doom, doom, doom. And lights up. Woo!
Alrighty.
Yeah! Got some sci-fi. Yeah. Fun times.
That's lovely.
So, thanks everybody. Thanks so much for listening. That was a scripted radio play called Dimension X, originally played back in April of 1950, when they referenced the future times of 2006 and 1956.
56.
Very future. Yeah. Excuse me, 1965. That was the future for them as well.
Yes.
Playing with As Inc. this week was...
Nathan Turner.
And Chris George. You can find out more information about As Inc. by emailing us at as.inc.prov, that's P-R-O-V, at gmail.com. You can also find more information about us by liking us on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe via iTunes and rate and review us on there as well. And tell your friends. And thanks so much for listening, everybody. We will see you next time. Bien chanter des balades, mais ne t'y fie pas trop. Un bon conseil prendrait. Elsie, Hank, Charlie,
ooh,
Hank.
Buzz LC, of a phone.
That's a part.
My favorite part. In the 1950s, did phones buzz?
Apparently they had a vibrate back then. Sarge, Hank, Charlie, Hank, Steve, Hank.
Sounds like you're just doing a bunch of short speak for like you're in a fighter jet. Charlie, Hank, Steve, Charlie, LC, Kappa 9 and Niner 6-0.
Yeah, it's good. Donaldson.
That's a person. Donaldson.
Okay, the six-person play turned into an eight-person
play. Well.
I'm glad we only have two people. What a good choice.
And then Ames.
Oh, no.
I don't think Ames has many lines, though.
How do you spell Aim? A-I-M-E-S?
A-M-E-S.
Ames? Is that man or woman?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh no!
We'll find out.
This isn't. What are we doing?
There's probably. Given that this play was written in the 50s, I almost guarantee you Elsie is the only girl in this play.
Come on. Let's give him a little more credit than that.
Nope. Elsie's the only girl in the play. Operator 1 and 8.
I'm just want to let him know I'm Hank Charlie Elsie Donaldson, female operator.
I think you're going to spend a lot of time talking to yourself.
No.
No, it's okay. Never mind. Steve and Hank have a lot of back and forth. I was trying to remember who had a lot of back and forth.